This is the Four Quarters Podcast, your home court for college hoops and recruiting.
Hello, and welcome to the latest edition of the Four Quarters Podcast from New York City. I'm Adam Zagoria from ZagsBlog.com, joined in studio by my main man, Josh Newman, who was with me at the NBA Draft Lottery last night. Joshy, how are we doing today?
You know, a bit of a late night. Draft lottery, a little fun afterwards, as we sometimes tend to do. And now we're here, and we're going to crush this podcast.
I love it. All right, we've now made it easier for you to listen to all of SNY.TV's original podcasts. If you're a fan of the Mets, Jets, Knicks, Rangers, Islanders, or college basketball and recruiting, just subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network or on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's the SNY.TV audio network, and please make sure to rate and review the channel. We got a big, big show today with Jim Boeheim, Fran Fraschilla, Terrence Munch Williams, and recruiting. So we're going to get right to it in the first quarter with Syracuse coach Jim Boeheim. Coach, welcome to the show.
Hey, nice to be with you, Jim. Thank you.
Hey, Jim, thanks for a few minutes of your time. I understand you're going to a Binghamton Mets game tonight, Coach. Are you throwing out the first pitch, or what's going on?
I'm going to try to get it. I'm praying I can get it from the mound to the catcher. That's what I'm hoping for.
Just throw him that fastball, Coach.
I know.
So Jim, the draft lottery was last night, obviously. The Sixers get the first pick. You coached against Brandon Ingram on Duke in the ACC. I'm sure you've seen Ben Simmons. If you're the Sixers, what would you do with this pick, Coach?
I think it's a hard decision. I really do. I haven't seen that much of Simmons. I know he's the best athlete and handler and rebound and all that. I've seen Brandon Ingram. I think he's going to be a tremendous scorer in the NBA. I would worry about Simmons' lack of being able to shoot the ball. I mean, when you're a perimeter player, you've got to be a great player. You got to shoot. You got to be a good shooter. Brandon Ingram is a good is a great shooter. So I would probably lean toward Ingram, but I don't know. It's a hard call. I'm sure that whoever's in the second spot is probably happy.
Yeah, that's the Lakers, and I think Ben Simmons grew up a big Lakers fan, so I'm sure he'd be happy going to Los Angeles. And the other thing is, Coach, the Sixers have a lot of big guys, Nerlens, Joel Embiid, Okafor, so they could always consider trading one of those guys for a guard.
Yeah, I think so. I think they obviously, but the problem is none of those guys have been healthy. So right. It's hard to trade guys when they haven't done anything yet. So I think it's a difficult decision, and some years if you get a number one pick when it's Anthony Davis or somebody, LeBron James, obviously those are the years you want to have the number one pick.
Right.
The other years you're getting a guy that everybody's still got questions about. So that's just the way that it works. I think it's difficult to figure out who's going to get drafted where now in the NBA because there's so many pretty good players. But nobody that you look at and say, boy, I want to get that guy. So it's a tough call, on this one for sure. It's a real tough call.
Coach, we wanted to ask you about your guy, Malachi Richardson. Obviously, signed with Andy Miller, so he's coming out. I've seen different projections. Draft Express has him in the second round. Chad Ford has him at number 13. I know you had some comments yesterday on that. What are your thoughts on Malachi and where can he go?
Well, I love Malachi. He had a great year for us. I think he's got great potential, and the NBA is drafting on potential. I think he can shoot it. He's big. He's got good hands. He can get to the basket. I think he's got a chance to have a great career in the NBA. I just hope that he gets in an opportunity where you have that chance your first year. If you go late in the first round, sometimes they send you to the D League. So I don't think the D League helps anybody that much anymore. But when you project somebody at 13 in the draft, and I mean, there's no reason for that. He hasn't had workouts yet. So I think that, it reminds me when the same pundit had Jeremy Grant in the top 20, he went 39.
Right.
It's a very inexact science right now. NBA teams have not even talked about who they're going to draft if they're in the 10 to 30 range. They haven't even started workouts. I mean, you're going to work guys out before you get to that kind of a place. I just think agents want players to come out and, you know, they'll tell them, I think, pretty much what they want to hear. That's just the way it works today. Nobody knows right now where anybody's going in the draft, and even including the first one and two picks. So, but Malachi had a great year for us. He's got tremendous potential to play in the NBA, and we wish him well.
And Jim, when you look at your team now that you know that Malachi is staying in the draft, how does this generally, you know, affect your team? And do you feel like guys coming in like Tyus Battle and Matthew Moore may have to take on more significant roles now?
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, in one sense, I'm sure there's some players thinking, well, we're going to get a lot more shots now next year. And that would be true. But we think that our freshmen can come in and help us. We think Tyler Lydon is ready for a big role. We think that Frank Howard's ready for a big role in the backcourt. We picked up a great fifth-year transfer who we think, you know, averaged 14 points a game in college. So we think he's going to be ready to help us. We've got a 7'2 guy coming into the middle that we didn't have this year. So we've got Tyler Robeson, who averaged 8 rebounds a game, and we think is a tremendous player. So we're in good position. We're probably in much better position heading into this year than we were last year, and last year turned out pretty good.
How much of an immediate impact do you feel like a kid like Tyus Battle can have for you, Jim?
Well, it's like Malachi. Malachi came in and averaged 14 points a game and was a huge factor. And scored 21 points in the second half against Virginia to get us to the Final Four. So I think Tyus Battle is, I mean, he's rated in the same area in terms of ability. He's not quite as good a shooter, but he's a tremendous athlete. So we think Tyus Battle can come in and make a huge difference here, particularly with, given how strong our front line should be with Tyler Robeson, Tyler Lydon, Daywan Coleman back, and Pascal Chukwue in there, who is 7'2". So we really like our team. We like our chances next year.
Just to change topics on you, we know that you watch a lot of Knick games. You know, you remain close with Melo. In your opinion, based on what you've seen, do they need a triangle coach or just the best available coach?
Well, I think you always want to get the best available. I don't think anybody ever has won with a triangle except for Phil Jackson, and I don't think he's coaching, is he?
That is true. That is true.
So I think you got to get the best coach, and you got to use the best offense for the personnel you have. I've watched too many games. I probably watched 60 Knick games this year or more. I watched Golden State, and I watched the New York Knicks play. And then I watched my other players when they're on. But I think that you know, they need some help at the guard. I think Porzingis has got a great future. But they obviously need some help in the backcourt to stabilize their team. And if they get that, I think they can be much better. If they don't, they're going to struggle again.
And Melo has said, you know, publicly that he wants, you know, some level of involvement with this next coaching hire. You know, has he expressed to you, you know, what level of involvement he'd like?
No, we don't talk about the specifics. We just talk generally, and I'm looking forward to coaching him again this summer with the Olympic team. He's at the peak of his career right now. It's his time to try to make that push. I thought he played great last year. Nobody noticed because they didn't win, but I thought his defense was better, his rebounding was good, his passing was good. You know, I mean, he just needs to get somebody. They need to get somebody in the backcourt that can make a difference. And, you know, I mean, I think everybody knows that. I'm not saying something that everybody in New York doesn't know. I thought, you know, that was such an important part for them moving forward. And, you know, I don't follow the NBA in terms of free agency and who's available and all that, but I hope they get somebody that can help them there, and he can have a great year next year.
Hey, Jim, it's Adam. Last question. I asked you this when I saw you the other day in Brooklyn, but just with the ACC tournament coming here to Brooklyn, competing directly with the Big East tournament at the Garden that same week, you know, what are your thoughts on coming to Brooklyn, and how will it work with the two events in New York?
Well, we're excited, and the events won't affect each other because their fans will come and our fans will come, and I think New York's kind of taken over by fans. I don't think the games depend on New York City people. I think Syracuse people that live in New York City are going to come, but I think that both events will do what they're going to do. I'm excited about coming to Brooklyn. I've heard it's a great venue. I'm really looking forward to playing in Brooklyn. I just am really excited about it. I think it's going to be a great tournament, and I think everybody will be excited to be in New York City. I don't think there's a better place to hold a tournament, and the Garden's great, but I think Brooklyn will be great as well, and we're excited about it. We're in Brooklyn for the great Pearl Washington's wake. I mean, he had such an outpouring of love from people in Brooklyn and really all over the basketball world. He was a unique player, unique individual, and I thought the things that Kenny Smith and Mark Jackson and Shaq and Charles said really summed up how people felt about Pearl Washington. He was a great person, and he did a lot for not only for college basketball, the Big East, but for Syracuse and me. He will be missed tremendously. And being without Pearl Washington is a very tough thing.
Yeah, well, certainly we send our condolences, and we'd be remiss, Coach, if we didn't mention that Howard Garfinkel also passed away recently. And I
was just with Mr. Garfinkel, Howard, who I've known for 50 years. I was with him at two high school events in the last two or three weekends, and had the opportunity to sit and talk basketball with him some more. He had a huge impact on the game of college basketball, high school basketball. He got so many people started in basketball. I mean, the Rick Pitinos, Mike Patel, Hubie Brown, Brendan Malone. I mean, you can go down a list of 25 great coaches that worked at Five Star, and all the great players, you know, back in the day, every great player in the country, the top 100 players in the country went to Five Star basketball camp, and you went down there to see him. He had a huge impact on the game, and we claim him here. He's an alum of Syracuse University, which isn't a well-known fact.
Yeah, well, it's funny. The day I interviewed you at the Nike EYBL a couple weeks ago, Coach, Garf was still there scouting players, and Coach Calipari said Garf was giving him notes on guards to watch.
He was still telling me who to recruit. You know, he got us one of our great recruits that nobody ever recruited, Greg Coles, who averaged 27 points a game for us. Nobody recruited him. And I remember him calling me. I remember the day he called me. I was an assistant coach. He said, "You need to get this kid." And I said, "Howard, nobody likes him." He said, "I do." And I said, "Okay, that's good enough for me." And we gave Greg Coles a scholarship. He averaged 27 points a game his last 2 years here.
Yeah, that's great. All right, Coach, listen, we appreciate a few minutes, and good luck throwing that fastball tonight with the Binghamton Mets.
Thanks, Sam. Appreciate it.
All right, Josh, a lot of interesting stuff there from Jim Boeheim. You know, it's funny. He said, "I don't think anybody's ever won with the triangle except Phil Jackson, and he's not coaching."
He's not wrong. It's going to be interesting to see where the Knicks go because – yeah, nobody's won with that system except Phil, and Phil doesn't really seem all that interested in coaching.
Yeah, and he's obviously, you know, a little surprised that Malachi's projected number 13 by Chad Ford, but he wishes him well, and, you know, we'll see where he goes, I guess.
They're going to be loaded with or without Malachi Richardson. I think Jim Boeheim's going to be okay one way or the other.
All right, we're going to move on now to the second quarter with our good friend Fran Fraschilla. Franny, welcome to the show.
Pleasure. Always enjoy talking hoops with you guys.
You're the best. So we got a lot of stuff we want to get to you with. You know, first off, obviously, Fran, the Sixers win the draft lottery last night. The big question is, do they take Ben Simmons or Brandon Ingram? Brett Brown, coached in Australia, has ties to the Simmons family. You know, who should they take? And do you think Brett Brown's connection to Australia will have any impact in that?
Well, I think they should take Simmons. I think Simmons is clearly the best player in this draft. You don't monkey around when you're trying to build a franchise with finding a position. You find the best player, the best asset. And then when you add that asset, you figure out where all your other assets are. And in this case, Adam, it's guys like Embiid and Okafor and Saric and Nerlens Noel. I would take the best player available and go from there. And in this case, I believe it's Simmons. And I do think that given the fact that there have been a few minor dents in Ben Simmons' armor off the court, not anything of a serious nature, but just some entitlement issues, I think Brett Brown, given the connection to the family, would be an ideal guy to shepherd this young man into his first NBA season.
I think that, you know, the easiest decision here, Fran, is going to be the Lakers at number two, because although Ben Simmons has made no secret that he's a Lakers fan and wants to play there, they're just going to take whichever guy is left. But the big question is, what do the Celtics do at number three there? That, you know, they have a ton of draft picks. They have 8 picks, so they could package some of them. What should their move be at number three?
Well, I think, first of all, you could expect Danny Ainge to be very active. He's not afraid to trade high picks. He's done it before. We saw him, how he rebuilt the Celtics by getting guys like Garnett and Ray Allen, 4 picks and players. So expect them to be very, very active with regard to potentially trading. If they don't trade it, I think you take the very best player on the board. There'll be some discussion as to whether that is Chris Dunn or Jamal Murray, maybe Buddy Hield. But I think that, in my opinion, when it's all said and done, they're not going to worry about who's in the backcourt. They're going to take Chris Dunn, in my opinion. I think he's not only, I believe, the third best player, and I love Jamal Murray. He's 19 years old. But I think we're going to look back on this draft potentially and say, boy, Chris Dunn was an all-star. How come we didn't look at, how come people didn't talk about him going 2 and possibly 1? But given the way this draft is, it seems to be locked at the top 2 spots. But when you look at Chris Dunn's total package, I think you may be looking at an NBA All-Star.
Fran, it's Josh. Can you just name, you know, one guy, a lottery-bound guy that maybe people aren't familiar with, that, you know, people should really start to get familiar with? Maybe a Devontae Davis, mm-hmm. a Marquise Chris.
Yep.
Who is one guy like that in your mind?
Well, Marquise Chris stands out because he's the best athlete in the draft, and he also has shown a propensity to be very effective from behind the arc. He made 43% of his threes in the final part of the season, last 10 games. He's very, very young, one of the youngest players in this draft. I think he's still 18 and change. So that's a guy that I believe is going to be comfortably inside the top 10. And, yeah, there's that boom-bust factor that people are putting on him because he came out of nowhere. But you know, when you talk about pure NBA athleticism and a fairly good skill package, I think he's a kid 5, 6, 7 years from now we're going to be talking about, maybe in the same breath as we talk about Paul George right now. So a lot of mystery with him because he wasn't even a top 40 player coming out of high school.
Down here in the New York, New Jersey area, a lot is being made about Isaiah Whitehead, what he's mm-hmm. going to do. He missed his Pacers workout, you know, various reasons being, you know, brought up. My question is, do you believe that he is ready to be drafted, Fran?
Yeah, I do. I do, because once you get past the first 8 to 10 picks, if you talk to NBA teams, you're talking about, they don't get too excited after the 10th or 11th pick in this draft. There'll be a lot of phone calls made after that, people trying to trade out of their pick. So, given the fact that Isaiah is going to go probably somewhere, in my opinion, between 20 and 30 and go to a playoff team, and if he gets that commitment from a team, I think he is going to go. And personally, you know, watching him play, being around him at Under Armour camps and studying him on tape the last part of the season, other than Ben Simmons, I think he may be the best passer in this draft. He can get his own shot. He can play both point and two. And the one question mark would be shot selection, but that's going to change once he gets to the NBA. He had to do an awful lot, as you guys know, for Seton Hall. But, you know, I'm high on Isaiah, especially if he goes in that 20 to 30 range. Young guard, a lot of NBA attributes in terms of his strength and skill level. And that's, you know, it's how I feel about it. And actually coming into the combine, I know at least 2 teams who told me they thought he would go in the late first round.
right before we had you on, Fran, Adam and I spoke with Jim Boeheim. We talked about a Malachi Richardson who is leaving after his freshman season. Do you think he's ready? You know, he obviously had that big stretch run there to help Syracuse to the Final Four. Do you believe he's ready, Fran?
Well, prior to the combine, I had him number 30. So that means he's right on the borderline, and apparently he's got a promise from somebody in the first round. I imagine that's why he's staying in. Is he ready? Of course not. What he is a project. He's got the size and length to be an NBA two guard. He showed us in the final couple games of the season in the NCAA tournament that he can make shots. But he also had an entire freshman year of uneven play. In fact, when you watch him on tape, most of the year he pretty much stood in the corner and watched Michael Binaje come off pick and roll and try to find Cooney or then himself. But if you're taking him 25 to 30, what you're getting is a young player who is going to be a project, who's going to play in the D League. And again, he's going to a playoff team where they can take time to develop him over the next 2 or 3 years. So he's not ready to play in an NBA playoff game right now and may not be for a couple of years, given the size. And by the way, he's an average NBA athlete. So he's not a bad athlete.
Right.
But as you compare him to other guys at that position who are already in the league, he would be an average NBA athlete.
As we sit here on May 18th, the deadline to remove your name from the NBA draft is 1 week from today on May 25th. Out of the guys that were at the combine, who performed poorly enough that they should go back to school?
Well, I think the logical guys are guys like Josh Hart, who I think should go back to school in part because he's going to have a great senior year. And Villanova should be a top five team again. And I think he would help himself. And Josh is a great competitor. Another guy I've been around during the summer camps and a fearless competitor who, you know, has proven that he's one of the best players in the Big East. And I think Josh needs to go back and pull a Buddy Hield or Denzel Valentine and smooth out his shooting stroke, and that'll help him. And then, obviously, the poster child for going back is Melo Trimble, a kid I really love. He's a great kid, and he's had two great years at Maryland, by and large. And I don't think there's anything wrong with him going back and playing 4 years at Maryland and hanging a banner up in the arena and being one of the best guards to ever play at Maryland, because in talking to NBA people, they just don't feel that there's a spot in the first round for him, and there may not be a spot in the second round. So what the heck is wrong with going back and being one of the best players to ever play at Maryland and continue to work on the things that the NBA personnel people tell you you need to get better at?
Fran, let me ask you, does Melo Trimble's decision get harder just because the rest of his starting five is leaving school and maybe there's a little bit of a transition going on at Maryland?
No, I think it makes it easier because all of a sudden, you know, whereas he came out of nowhere as a freshman and was the focal point of that team, last year he was one of five starters who all believed that they could play in the NBA. And now that, four of those guys are gone, he gets to come back, and there's some good young players there. There's a terrific young point guard coming in, Anthony Cowan from the D.C. area. He's kind of I don't want to say poor man's Tyler Ulis, but he's got a lot of Tyler Ulis in his game. And I think that Melo can play off the ball some next year and concentrate on, being the go-to scorer for a Maryland team that's in transition. So I think it's a perfect year for Melo to go back and show everybody that he's good enough to lead his Terps back into the NCAA tournament, despite the fact that, four guys are leaving that starting lineup.
Franny, it's Adam. Last question. We can't let you get out of here with at least one international question because you're Mr. International. Our friend Mark Gottfried at NC State and our guy Orlando Early get Omar Yurtseven, 7-footer from Turkey, I believe, right? What can you tell us about this guy? What's he going to bring to the ACC?
Should be a terrific college player, really. He's not a world-class athlete, but he has got good size, very good skill. He's effective inside as a low-post player, and he can also at times, although Mark's not going to want him to do this a lot, step away from the basket and shoot the 17-footer. or the college three. But this is a kid that I think would have been very comfortably inside. You know, he would have been a McDonald's All-American type. And at his age and size and already experience, he's actually played against NBA teams, as I recall, and in exhibition games. I think this kid is going to be a terrific addition at NC State.
All right, Franny, you're the man. As always, we appreciate it, and we hope to get you on later this summer.
Always a pleasure, guys.
A lot of interesting stuff there, Josh, from Fran. I mean, what stuck out to me was that he said Isaiah Whitehead's the best passer in the draft besides for Ben Simmons.
That's an interesting comment. Now, I guess we're going to see if Whitehead stays in the draft, and maybe he could prove that to some teams as he works out.
Yeah, I mean, I had originally been told he was staying in the draft. Now I'm being told he's likely going back to Seton Hall, so it's interesting. All right, we're going to move on now to the third quarter, and our good friend Terrence Munch Williams, the director of the PSA Cardinals AAU program. Munch, how are we doing today, buddy?
It's a great day. It's a great day. Hopefully all is well with you guys.
We are doing well. You know, we've been asking everybody. We figure we'll ask you, too. The Sixers get the number one pick last night. You know, you've seen these guys. If you were Brian Colangelo, Munch, would you take Ben Simmons or Brandon Ingram right now?
You know, I beg to differ. I think Brian Colangelo should take Shaq Diallo at the number one pick. You know, you know, he's a PSA Cardinal alum, and I'm going with Shaq Diallo.
All right, that's your guy. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that is your guy.
We shall see.
All right, let's talk about the EYBL circuit just briefly. You guys have just completed, I guess, in Virginia you were, and you got the Peach Jam coming up in July. You know, just tell us, what's your team's record? How's the team looking? And, you know, are you looking forward to the Peach Jam?
Yeah, I mean, we're off to a really good start, first in our division. 10-1, actually lost the game by 2 points. So we've been in every game. We've been really successful thus far. Obviously looking forward to the Peach Jam. We've been dealing with a bunch of nagging injuries for a few guys. So they've been there. Some of the guys have sat out a couple games, but the overall body of the team has been phenomenal. Got some young kids. We got some veteran guys, and they've been able to sacrifice their individual statistics for wins. And, you know, along those lines, a bunch of scholarship offers have been coming to those guys. So I'm excited about the group. I think we have a great shot at the Peach Jam and trying to make a run come July. But we got a lot of unfinished business to take care of next session. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys. It's you know, I saw you in Brooklyn. You guys look great, and you're doing a great job, you know, coaching the team and also promoting the brand. You know, let's get into a couple of your guys we've talked about before. Muhammad Bamba, 7-footer. I interviewed him in Brooklyn, you know, great kid, very thoughtful, very well-spoken. What's the latest on him as far as, you know, I know you said he was going to cut it to 10 probably in August. Who is kind of working the hardest for him, and what's the latest on his recruitment?
I think it's been pretty steady. I think most of the guys are just kind of just staying in there saying, hey, I'm around, and we want to try to get some visits done. So I think the biggest thing for him is just to cut the list to 10 and then start scheduling visits after that for hopefully – a couple unofficial visits and maybe a couple of the local areas that's driving distance, and then set up some official visits for, you know, September and on. So he'll be a guy that probably won't decide on his college decision until late, you know, March, April.
And Munch, you know, you've had a couple other guys who have really kind of blown up here as the spring has moved forward. Brandon Randolph is one of those kids. He's added a ton of offers recently. What's the latest on him, Munch?
Man, I think Brandon kind of gets an offer literally maybe every 2 days. I think he's positioned himself to be one of the best scorers, not just in the EYBL, but in the entire country, and has become one of the top 4 or 5 shooting guards. I think he's in the same process of trying to make sure that he cuts his list down to something that's manageable, which is the magic number should be 10. I'm encouraging all those guys to get it down to 10 and then let their supporting cast and their family try to start to window down some stuff to try to figure out the visit. So he's been phenomenal. The kid who's been with us since the 6th or 7th grade. So I'm extremely happy for him and proud of him. And he comes from a great family structure, and it's a very supportive environment for him to continue to do what he's been doing.
And in the next breath, is Quade Green kind of in that similar boat where he's kind of blown up and he has all these offers and all these high major teams coming? Is he in that same boat where he just has to get it down to a manageable number of schools?
Yeah, I mean, Quade, he came to us with already a bunch of offers, and he was able to grab a few more. And, you know, I think the big dogs are coming and barking around his environment. So he's in the same – those guys are so focused on the moment, which is get better individually. individually and win. They're addicted to winning, and I think once that's over, they'll be able to concentrate a little bit more on their recruitment. So right now they're just saying, hey, I'm going to cut the list to 10 when I get to August, and then let's have some fun after that with some visits and get to know some people as far as the college coaches.
All right, Munch, we appreciate your time. I'll be talking to you more this summer. Look forward to seeing you guys at Peach Jam, and have a great spring and summer.
Okay, you have a good day.
All right, Josh. Munch obviously has a loaded team there with the PSA Cardinals. You know, all the guys we mentioned, going to be a ton of coaches watching these guys at the Peach Jam and in July with Bamba, Quade Green, Brandon Randolph. You know, and they're a New York team based in New York, so it's good to see them do well. And they definitely have a shot to win the whole Peach Jam.
They can definitely win the whole thing. And as you said, they're a New York team. It's good to see some New York kids playing well, although Quade Green is a Philly kid. Be that as it may, yes, the PSA Cardinals are a must-see on the circuit.
All right, we're going to move on now to the fourth and final quarter. Josh, now bang out a little recruiting. Want to get us started, my friend?
I'm going to. Marcus Bolden finally appears ready to commit to a school on Thursday, down to Duke and Kentucky. What are you hearing?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of intrigue here between Duke and Kentucky, and, you know, the intrigue only picked up here in the last 24, 48 hours because, A, I reported Marcus Lee pulled out of some NBA workouts, and, you know, it appears he may go back to Kentucky, but who knows? He may opt to go to the D League or go overseas. And then today, the Kentucky announced Charles Matthews is transferring, so they have a scholarship now, you know, to free up for Marcus Bolden. You know, that said, it sounds like, you know, Duke, you know, has always been in a strong position, and wouldn't surprise me if he went to Duke either. So we're going to have to just wait and see what the kid says tomorrow. But, you know, either way, he's going to be joining a real powerhouse team. And, you know, Kentucky's, as we've noted, has a lot of bigs already. Duke has Emil Jefferson coming back and Harry Giles. So it's interesting. You know, another big guy, Josh, who has not committed yet is Torian Thompson. He's a New York City kid at Brewster. Now, the interesting thing here is it sounds like down to Seton Hall, Syracuse, Michigan State. Michigan State wanted to get him on a visit. As far as I know, he hasn't set one up yet. You know, we had Jim Boeheim on. I'm sure he'd love to add Torian Thompson, get another big. Seton Hall looks to me like they don't have any scholarships, especially if Isaiah Whitehead comes back to campus. So, you know, I've been told all along he's going to end up at Syracuse, but again, we have to wait and see.
You know, Seton Hall's out of scholarships, but if the kid wants to go to Seton Hall, those things generally tend to work themselves out one way or the other. The signing period, I believe, ends today, right? Today?
Yes, correct.
But that really doesn't mean anything, technically, because you can still sign your scholarship papers in, you know, June, July, or whatever.
Yeah, and they've been, you know, they've been pretty mum. His mother is really the spokesman there, and she hasn't been quoted recently as far as I can see.
I suppose we'll see what happens there. As we talked to Fran Fischel about, Omer Yurtseven to NC State, how big of an impact can he have right away?
Well, we just had Franny on there. I mean, that's a big deal. He considered Syracuse and Utah. I think this kid went for 91 points the other day in an under-18 game. And obviously NC State loses Caleb and Cody Martin. They lose Cap Barber to the NBA. So, you know, that's a big pickup for them. And we'll get to see him here at the ACC tournament in Brooklyn. Rutgers and Seton Hall, locally, Josh, both got guys this week. Seton Hall picks up Aaron Gordon, who I understand actually signed with them a while ago. He's a two-guard. He'll, you know, play with Javon Thomas, who they get in December, and they get Kadeen Carrington back. Maybe they get Whitehead back too. So, you know, they could have a real nice 3-4 guard rotation there at Seton Hall. Rutgers gets Issa Thiam. He's a 6'9 forward. Shoes Vatrone gets the assist on that. I'm told he could be a rotation guy there behind Jonathan Laurent and get some significant minutes. So you got to give Steve Peichel and his staff, Steve Peichel, credit for A, assembling the staff and keeping shoes on to get these players.
We should also mention in terms of Rutgers that Corey Sanders announced this morning that he is returning to Rutgers after flirting with the NBA draft process. He was Rutgers' most talented player under Eddie Jordan. If Steve Peichel can kind of rein him in and summon his best game, that can only benefit the Scarlet Knights moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to give Steve Peichel and his staff an A so far. They've made all the right moves.
No doubt.
All right, we're done for the day. Remember to check out zagsblog.com for stories on Charles Matthews, Isaiah Whitehead, Caleb Young, who just committed to Providence. We'll have a story up on that. And more news coming out of the NBA draft lottery. Once again, there's a new way for you to listen to all of SNY.TV's original podcasts. If you're a fan of the Mets, Jets, Knicks, Rangers, Islanders, or college basketball and recruiting, just subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's the SNY.TV audio network. Please make sure to rate and review the channel. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Adam Zagoria and at Joshua_Newman. Thanks for subscribing and listening. We are out.
This has been the Four Quarters Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Podcast Network.